Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to Thursday Morning Roundtable on behalf of University College of Syracuse University. As you know, many of you, TMR is entering its 51st year, so that's pretty special. Right now, to introduce our guest speaker this morning, it's my pleasure to welcome Patrick Mannion. Patrick, a longtime friend, a regular of TMR, friend and supporter of the Citizens League, has his tickets to the breakfast already, I know, and also, importantly, chair of the board of directors of Krause Hospital. Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks, Sam.
Yes, you may.
Good morning, everybody. I joined the Krause board. Hey, morning, Mary Pat. I didn't see you when I walked. This is kind of like coming home for me. It's been a while since I've been to TMR, and I really very much, it was a great part of my life for about 20 years. And I was going to say I joined the Krause board right around the time of the passing of our good friend Lee Smith. And though 30 years, some three decades, separated us in years, we were fast and great friends, kindred spirits. I think of him every day, and his wife, Alice, and his family. And I want to thank you for inviting me, because simply it gives me a reason to think of Lee, and it'll make today a better day. Krause Hospital. Take me to Krause. Your care in our hands, simply the best. Those are our taglines. What I'd like you to do is stop thinking about Krause as Jim Mahar's hospital, right? How many people here still think that way? Jim was a great leader. We've had great leaders since, Paul Cronenberg in particular, and now Kimberly. Stop thinking about Krause as Krause Irving Hospital, right? It's simply just Krause Hospital. Stop thinking about it as the bankrupt hospital. That was over a decade ago. We've come through it, and we have stronger for it. Stop thinking about it as the small hospital. We are indeed the smallest of the three hospitals in town, but that's a market share difference of, let's say, 35-35-30, right? Not 50-50-0. So we are an important part of the network. And stop thinking about us as just another hospital. We have a great benefit in our community of having great medical care. St. Joseph's Hospital, Upstate Medical Hospital, Upstate Medical University are outstanding health institutions. Not many communities have that benefit, especially a community our size. So we have three outstanding hospitals. As the chair of the board of about a dozen community leaders who sit on that board, some who are here today, I want to thank Bob Myron, who is on our board, we make the decisions for Krause Hospital here in Syracuse. We are the only institution that makes all the decisions for that hospital here in Syracuse. Upstate, great hospital, run out of Albany. St. Joseph's Hospital, great hospital, we all know, just transitioned to different sponsorship. Doesn't make them anything other than what they are, but from the standpoint of a community hospital, we are the true community hospital. We're run by great doctors, great management, and that great management is led by Kimberly Boynton. And Kimberly, who followed Dr. Paul Cronenberg, who many of you know, many of you were patients, Seth Cronenberg, his son, Dr. Cronenberg, is now very involved in the administration, another great primary care physician. We have outstanding physician leadership. But Kimberly is an example of the best that upstate New York can produce. Kimberly's homegrown, born and raised in Syracuse, went to high school here in Syracuse, went to Niagara University, got her MBA from Syracuse University, started at Krause after already being involved at PricewaterhouseCoopers as an accountant and a CPA. She started, I think, as a financial analyst, worked her way up as a manager, then a vice president. She went through her trial by fire with the bankruptcy. She was intimately involved with bringing us out of that bankruptcy. And she and Paul became known as a dynamic duo of who led that hospital back out of those very, very tough times. She's extremely involved in the community. She's a wonderful mother, loving mother to her son Henry, and a patient, however committed wife to her husband Charlie. If you know Charlie, you know what that means. Charlie's a recently retired, at least you're laughing, Kimberly. Charlie is a recently retired lieutenant from the Syracuse Fire Department. So we are lucky to have Kimberly. We are lucky to have her as our leader and as the keeper of the magnificent Kraus culture. Simply the best, Kimberly Boynton.
Not the good.
Nice. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for being here today to hear about Kraus Hospital. Kraus has been around since 1887, and it's the history, it's the gem, it's that history that we build upon here in our community, that rich historical story of how it was created and how after all of these years it is still providing excellent care in our community. And having that history entrusted into the hands of the board and senior management today is no small task, and we do not take it lightly. We're very proud of that history. So today I'm going to give you just a little bit of a glimpse into Kraus Hospital, what we're calling an inside story or inside look about where we are today and where we're headed in the future as far as healthcare reform goes. We'll talk a little bit about that. And I hope that you'll find it to be informative. So first of all, I'd like to thank Sandra Barrett. Thank you so much for inviting me here today to be able to tell the story. Patrick gave you quite a bit about my background. To me, one thing that I want you to know about me is having grown up in Syracuse and my family is still here, living here all my life, seeing Kraus Hospital and that clock tower and that cupola up on the hill is something I remember from my childhood. And now today, to be the leader, to be one of the leaders of that organization is, I feel, extremely important to me, and I'm honored to have that ability. So one of the things people say is, what's the most gratifying thing about being CEO of the hospital? And for me, that's about the people. I love the time that I get to spend out on the floors, talking to the nurses, talking to the patients, interacting with the physicians, and really getting involved in the day-to-day operations of the hospital. We have, as Patrick said, tremendous talent and very dedicated people. And that is truly, when I first took on my position, I did not take the traditional CEO office. In fact, I moved my desk out into the open. I don't have any walls. There's a desk next to me where my assistant, my administrative assistant, sits. But that's how I like to be, right out in the open. I like to interact with individuals, and that's very important to me and very important to how I work throughout the organization. So we do have tremendous people, and that's extremely gratifying. So how is Kraus Hospital run? Well, we base what we do on our mission. And these words, to provide the best inpatient care and to promote community health, are extremely important to us. The mission, along with the vision and the values, were created by groups of employees back in 2003. This is not something that senior management or the board created and then pushed down. It was actually done the opposite way. Groups of employees got together and said, how do we want to conduct ourselves? What do we want to be? What's our purpose? And hence these words were created. And this is what we've gone by. This forms the foundation for everything we do at the hospital. So when we talk about mission, vision, values, they're not just words on a piece of paper or hung on the wall. They're actually how we practice, and they're referred to consistently. So when we're making decisions on a daily basis, we say, well, is that in line with our mission? Is that in line with our values and how we want to act? And you hear this not just at the senior management or the board level, but right at the employee level when they speak to one another, as well as our physicians. As Patrick mentioned, we are governed by the community. So we are the Syracuse Hospital that is governed by a local board of directors. These are those individuals. As you can see, they're leaders in the community. I want to thank Patrick Manning, who introduced me today, and also Bob Myron, who's here with us today. This is a very dedicated board of directors. We meet on a monthly basis as a complete board. There's committee meetings in between. They help set the strategic plan, the vision for the hospital. They help me and the senior team with direction as to how we go about our decisions, what way we go, and they're extremely important to us. What I find is important is that they are all vested in our community. So they're going to make decisions from their own perspective of what's best to support our mission, which is provide the best inpatient care and promote community health. These individuals are volunteers. It's a lot of time. It's a very large commitment. And I publicly thank them for everything that they do for the hospital and for me personally. So when we talk about mission, vision, values, these are our values. As you could see, we spelled them out with the word Kraus. These are the words when I talk about that every employee will refer to. It's quite frequently I'll hear an interaction or a conversation, I'll hear someone say, well, is that open and honest communication? So when we're talking about how do we report information to employees, we're a very open and transparent organization. Our information is out there for them to see at any time. We talk about our quality data. We talk about our financial data. They know exactly where we stand. When we make decisions, we make sure that everyone is aware of them, not only after the decision is made, but has input before the decision as well. So we practice these values on a daily basis. We also make sure that as individuals come into the organization, right from the very first day, their first interaction, we talk to them about mission, vision, and values. So when an applicant comes into Kraus Hospital, we talk about it in human resources. They see a video about what the mission, vision, values means to us. We talk to them and have a specific conversation as to whether or not they feel that by them joining the organization, they will act in accordance to our mission, vision, values, and that they will be engaged in that. And sometimes we have individuals who are not. And we specifically say to them, then this will not be the organization for you. So we make sure that individuals coming into the organization to be part of our family, and this is not just for employees, but physicians, volunteers, other groups within the community, professional organizations that we may deal with, we want to make sure that they're all in accordance with our mission, vision, values. So now I'm just going to go into some facts about Kraus. Many of these things you may be well aware of and very familiar. Others might be news to you. We've been around since 1887. Again, that very strong history. We're a top 10 employer, 3,000 employees, 800 physicians. Our emergency services department is extremely busy. All of the emergency services departments throughout our community are very busy. Kraus has seen a significant increase, and I'll show that on a later slide. We have 76,000 visits on an annual basis. We have partnership with Syracuse University. We are the official hospital of the SU athletes. In addition to that, we've been neighbors on the Hill since our inception. So we have a lot of interactions, a lot of touch points with Syracuse University, and they're a great neighbor to Kraus Hospital, including the fact that the chancellor was one of our board of directors. Our annual operating budget is over $445 million. We have 506 beds. We are also home to the Pomeroy College of Nursing, where we graduate nursing students with an associate's degree. We have a significant amount of clinical leadership in our organization. Maternity and OB care is what we were founded on, so women's and infant services. We birth over 4,000 babies every year. That's more than 55% of the babies born in this area. We are also the regional perinatal center and the NICU, the highest level NICU in the region. The NICU actually services in the perinatal center services high-risk OB and neonatal who need intensive care for 15 surrounding counties. So it's not just about Onondaga County, but 15 surrounding counties. And babies are flown in every week for our services from outlying hospitals. The high-risk OB services, we are a leader in that area. And that is in cooperation with Upstate Medical University. So we have physicians who practice at Upstate and also practice at Krause Hospital. That's a partnership, our regional perinatal center. And then we have the highest level NICU, where we service over 1,000 babies every year. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. We have phenomenal cardiac services, including our Myron Cardiac Cath Center. Our cardiac services run the gamut of everything from testing, so echo services, stress test. We also have cardiac catheterization, as well as pediatric cardiac cath. We do everything for cardiac services except the open heart procedure, open heart surgery. In cardiac, we do have an extremely low door to balloon time. So we have perfected the process of an individual coming in to the emergency services who is in cardiac arrest, taking them from the ED over to the Myron Cardiac Cath Center, going in and opening up that artery with a balloon. It's called door to balloon time. And our door to balloon time is 40 minutes. The national average for that is 58. So as you can see, we're well below the national average. We're highly touted for our door to balloon time. We have the largest outpatient surgery program. We were a leader in outpatient surgery. It was actually back in the 1970s when we built the first outpatient surgery center across the street in the physician's office building, which is still in operation today. That was the first outpatient surgery center owned by a hospital in the Northeast. And that was under Mr. Mahar's leadership. We also since then have built the Madison Irving Surgery Center down the street, and they're both in existence today. We do more outpatient surgery than any of the other institutions in town. We are also a regional leader in robotic surgery. And in robotic surgery, we do more robotic surgery than any of the other institutions, and it's across more service lines. So urology, colorectal, general surgery. We're actually an epicenter. So that's a nationwide center for colorectal robotic surgery. We are also a New York State designated stroke center. We have a recent marketing and advertising campaign about our stroke services, along with the Take Me to Krause ad, and we'll talk a little bit more about neurosciences as we move forward. We are the region's only pediatric cardiac cath program, a phenomenal group of physicians that do all of the pediatric catheterizations at Krause Hospital for our area. One of the things that we at Krause Hospital back in the late 60s went into the business of substance abuse, and we are the only hospital provider of substance abuse services. So at some time ago, they had determined that psychiatric services would exist at Upstate University Hospital and at St. Joseph's Hospital, but substance abuse services only exist at Krause Hospital. Our substance abuse services include inpatient care for alcohol and drugs, so right in the hospital. In addition to that, we have a 40-bed unit called Commonwealth Place out on Malloy Road, which is your typical rehabilitation, inpatient stay. Used to be about 28 days, now it's 21 days, I'm going to rehab. The outpatient services are provided right down the street at 410 South Krause, where hundreds of patients walk through the door every day for alcohol abuse and as well as chemical abuse. These individuals would be there for individual counseling, group counseling, and we also have the region's, not just Central New York, but the region's only methadone maintenance program, which is a way to treat heroin and opiate addiction through medication. As you've heard recently, the heroin addiction problem is extremely high right now in our community, and Krause is working very hard to combat that. We are working very closely with our elected officials at both a local level a state level and a national level, to keep them aware of the issue and to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to combat it. So the war on drugs or the police protection alone is not going to take care of this issue. We also need assistance in substance abuse and counseling. And so that's what we're trying to make sure we continue to provide to the community. We are also the only area hospital that has overnight surgical coverage 24/7. So there is a surgeon in Crouse Hospital every night, all night, for any needs that may come in through the emergency department. And that's extremely important. In today's healthcare environment, we're seeing that outlying hospitals are not able to provide the services or the level of services that they may have in the past. So areas around us, such as Hamilton, New York, or Cortland, New York, or Auburn, may not have the ability to provide services to the level that hospitals within a major city like Syracuse can. So we're seeing many patients coming into Syracuse. So we have the need not only to service those in our area, but outlying areas as well. So we've added a lot of coverage to take care of that. So a little bit about our economic impact. As you can see from this slide, it's significant. We talked about the number of employees we have. Our salaries are over $162 million. Benefits, $52 million. The expenditures that Crouse Hospital provides for goods and services in our community is $141 million. And we also provide charity care. So these are services which we're providing where, based on economic need, individuals are not billed for these services and the fees are forgiven. And that's almost $5 million. And these are 2014. So you can see our economic impact is significant. So this graph shows volumes. And this is to illustrate the increase that we've seen in volumes. And as Patrick said, we're the smallest of the three hospitals, but we are extremely busy. And in fact, some days busting at the seams. So this goes back to 2006, shows a 9-year growth trend in three areas. One, discharges, so inpatients, discharges, have gone up 7.7% over that time period. The second area is outpatient cases, and that outpatient cases includes everything, outpatient surgery, outpatient physical therapy, substance abuse, 45% increase in outpatient services. And then something phenomenal that's happening in our community right now is this last column, which is ER and urgent care visits. Our urgent care is called Prompt Care, and it's right across the street, located right across the street from the hospital on Irving Ave. Those two areas combined have seen a 56% increase over this time period. So our volumes are up. We are very busy. But you might say, well, how are we doing financially? We're doing well financially. Last year we beat our budget. So far this year, through July, our EBITDA, which is what we would say when we speak with the employees and the physicians and talk about our financial status, we talk about EBITDA, earnings before interest, depreciation, and amortization. And we talk about that number because that's what they can affect. That's the operations. What do we make from operations? Through July of this year, we've made $15.6 million in EBITDA. And then on the bottom line, we have a positive bottom line, so after depreciation and interest, of $1.5 million, which results in an operating margin so far this year of a positive 1.8%. Why is that important? We are a not-for-profit institution. All hospitals in New York State are not-for-profits. But we have to make money. The money that we make is what we utilize to reinvest back into the facilities, back into information technology, back into providing the latest equipment when we talk about robotic surgeries. Those are the dollars that we use to invest back in the facilities. We keep our debt structure low, and we utilize these operating margins to purchase those necessary capital items. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about our strategic initiatives. These strategic initiatives are included on the handout card that you received, which we call our Keeping Crouse Strong document. That document, this is its second iteration, we've been using it for a couple of years now, was created as a tool to utilize within our institution. Each and every employee has one of these pocket cards. They're given out to the physicians and the volunteers as well. And it's a reminder, on one side, of our mission, vision, values, and on the other side, of our strategic focus areas and our strategic initiatives, so that everyone knows, what are we working towards? Where are we headed? Why are we doing what we're doing today? What's the purpose of it? So when you take a look at that document, the strategic focus areas are things that would be in any hospital across the United States. So everybody's looking at optimizing revenue, lowering cost, improving quality. These strategic initiatives, which we say are for 2015 through 16, because nothing can be accomplished in 1 year, are items that we said we want to pay particular attention to over the next couple of years. We want to dedicate resources to these areas. We want to focus recruitment on these areas. These are areas that are important to us, and we will be paying attention to them, so they're specific to Krauss Hospital. And the number one is number one for a reason. It's building on our Krauss culture. The culture is really what we're known for at Krauss. I receive copies of every compliment and every complaint. I get far, far many more compliments. In each of these, they always talk about their interactions with our individuals, and that's our culture. So I often hear, whether I'm out and about in the community or through these letters, emails that come in, or telephone calls, that it just feels different at Krauss. That's the culture we want to perpetuate. That when they come in from the bedside nurse, the valet parker, the individual who cleaned their room, everyone looks at them with a smile. They speak to them as an individual. They're concerned about their well-being and the well-being of their family and friends who are visiting them. That's the culture we want to perpetuate. So we always are talking about it, keeping our eye on it, and working towards it. The second area that we have up here is to expand our neuroscience services. A couple of years ago, we looked out in the community, and we saw that there was not a comprehensive neuroscience service. So people were going out. The care was fractured. People were going outside of the community for some pieces of the care. So we wanted to bring it all together and make it more comprehensive. And when we talk about neurosciences, we're talking about neurology, stroke care, neurosurgery, and neuroendovascular surgery. So everything from the brain right down the back of the spine. We've done a significant amount of recruitment in this area. We've invested capital dollars to build new hybrid operating rooms. And we're going to continue this neuroscience service expansion with additional recruitment to bring these services to our community that are much needed. Building on women's and infant services, again, this is what we were founded on. We want to make sure that we continue that. We want to make sure that we continue the focus on women's services, not just when it comes to OB, but women's services in general. Women make 90% of the healthcare decisions for their home. So it's very important that they're well-informed. They need to be well-informed about healthcare in general, not just what we offer at Krauss, but what's best for their family. We have now part of a program called Spirit of Women. That Spirit of Women program has hundreds of members right now in our community, and it provides that vehicle for us to get that information out. In fact, tonight, in this very room, we have over 250 individuals signed up to attend one of our seminars. And tonight, Dr. Cunningham, who is leader in her field of GYN oncology, will be speaking with those women tonight. In addition to that, we want to make sure that women understand the services that are available to them and that we become a leader in their care for other things other than OB, so cancer care, cardiac services, all the other services that we might offer. We also want to be focused on growing our surgical services. As I spoke about, we've been a leader in that area. We want to continue that with robotics, bariatric surgery. In addition to that, orthopedics, neurosurgery. We've invested significantly in surgical services. The Whiting Surgical Center, which opened just a few years back, is a phenomenal state-of-the-art facility for those surgeons to practice. And we'll continue to advance that. And then the final one is improving access to care. And that one is really threefold. There's three pieces to that that we're focused on. One, there's not enough primary care physicians in our community, so we need to continue to expand and to grow upon that. And whether Krauss Hospital hires those physicians through Krauss Medical Practice, or whether we coordinate with family practice groups that exist in the community. We need to continue to provide access to care through primary care. The second area is our front door, which is our emergency services department. Our ED has phenomenal pathways, procedures, protocols. We do excellent work. We have the shortest door-to-doc time, the shortest door-to-balloon time, the quickest EMS handoff time. But what we don't have is the greatest facility. So we're going to be embarking upon an investment into our emergency services. It'll be expanding our department, taking prompt care, which exists across the street, and integrating it into the emergency department. That's a $35 million project. We're in the design phase right now and awaiting our certificate of need approval through New York State. And then finally, in improving access to care, earlier this year we created a transfer center. When I talked about outlying hospitals needing additional care, we want to make sure that they have the ability to transfer patients into Syracuse. So we created a transfer center where a physician in an outlying hospital or in a doctor's office can get on the phone, facilitated by a Kraus nurse in the middle, and speak to a doctor on our end who will accept the patient. That way we have clear communication and transfers more easily occur. So you've heard a little bit about Kraus Hospital. We've talked about some of our facts. We talked about our strategic initiatives this year. Now I'm going to talk a little bit more about healthcare in general and what's happening and how are we reacting to it. So today you hear about this all the time. You hear Obamacare. You hear about integrated delivery system, healthcare networks, healthcare systems. We talk about healthcare reform. So what does that all mean? And just in its simplest terms, what we're talking about is that this is how it has traditionally been, the hospital in the middle and everything surrounded around it. So the hospital was controlling things in a way. We were the center of attention. Everything came through the hospital. As we move forward, that's not what the picture's gonna look like anymore. What healthcare reform is evolving that. So we're moving away from what traditionally has been fee-for-service, so we get paid based on how many surgeries we do, how many x-rays we do, how many inpatients we have, to something else in payment that's really a payment based on quality, based on how well you manage the patient, and not how many times you get the patient in the hospital, but how often you can keep the patient out of the hospital. So it's a total shift in the way that we operate in healthcare in the United States. We're on the early stages of that. We're in the beginning fringes. So it's almost like we have, you know, a foot in two boats at the same time, or one on the dock and one on the boat. We're going transitioning from fee-for-service over to a different style of payment based on cost and quality. So if you see physicians out today in the community and they look like they have a lot of pressure on them, it's because their world is changing, and they do. What's happening now is that we're moving to this population in the middle. The people are the center, and everyone is working around them. So what happens is that you want to keep that population healthy. So the population is attributed to the primary care doc, and the primary care doc is responsible, so whether that's your internist or your family practitioner, for making sure that their patients stay healthy, that they have well care visits, that any diseases they may have are managed and under control. And they're going to do that by utilization of all of these areas around here. So hospital care, specialty providers, maybe long-term care, or post-acute care, home care. Kraus Hospital is in the business of these areas. We are not going to own and operate every single piece of this puzzle. But what we are planning to do is we do own and operate some of them. So we have primary care physicians, we have a hospital, but we don't provide home care. And we're not going to go into the business of home care because there are home care providers who do it very well in our community. So our job is to partner with those areas that we don't perform. So providing the best inpatient care doesn't always mean we own and operate everything, but we seek out partners who do it very well. So the world is changing. We're adapting to that model. We're forming partnerships. We're expanding the work that we do through Kraus Medical Practice and our physician groups. and we're moving away from fee-for-service and headed to population-based medicine. Now, what I just talked to you about is hours and hours of lectures in 2 minutes. Okay, so how is Krauss handling this? Well, this is our system organizational chart. And this is just a picture to help depict what are we encompassed right now. Well, this is our parent at the top, Krauss Health System, Inc., been in existence forever, doesn't have any formal operations, it holds some property. It also is the parent of two hospital institutions, Krauss Health Hospital here in Syracuse and Community Memorial Hospital, who is our partner in Hamilton, New York. Community Memorial Hospital is a small hospital in Hamilton, has recently gone to becoming a critical access hospital, and we partner with them for their care. They also share the same parent, Krauss Health System. They have their own separate individual board of directors. We did that purposefully because we believe that individuals who are leading this organization need to be from the community. We do have some crossover members between Krauss Health Hospital's board and Community Memorial Hospital Board so that we have continuity of our strategic vision and where we're headed. We also have Krauss Health Foundation, which many of you may be familiar with, which is the fundraising arm. Krauss Health Foundation's sole purpose is to raise money for Krauss Hospital. Then we have Krauss Medical Services, or Krauss Medical Practice, PLLC. Krauss Medical Practice was formed a few years back, and that's the physician arm. So the physician offices, which operate out and about in the community for internal medicine, we have neurosurgeons in there, neurologists, neuroendovascular surgeons, who are employed by Krauss Medical Practice, and their operations are part of Krauss Hospital. And then most recently, we created Krauss Health Network, LLC. And what this is your integrated delivery. This is your clinically integrated network of physicians. So physicians are members of Krauss Health Network. These can be physicians that Krauss Hospital employs, either through Krauss Medical Practice, or physicians who have groups out in the community. So Family Care Medical Group, which is the largest family practice group in Syracuse, are members of Krauss Health Network. And that organization, as it moves forward, will be the organization that does contracting with insurers, helps create bundled payments, and does that work to get us from the one boat over to the other boat, where we totally move from fee-for-service to payments based on population. We have always historically been a physician-friendly hospital. Our physicians are extremely loyal to Krauss Hospital, and these are community-based physicians with their own practices and their own groups. Even as Patrick mentioned, the bankruptcy that we went through, we were a test case for a hospital that went through a bankruptcy and still maintained its physician loyalty. So the physician stuck with us through that. We are a physician-friendly institution. We work very closely with them because we're all headed towards the same mission of providing the best inpatient care. So collaboration and integration with the physicians is extremely important to us. So that was a little bit about the healthcare environment. I want to wrap up by talking about our neonatal intensive care unit, which is it's a flagship of Krauss Hospital. And as I said, this is the area in which the NICU supports. So we're the highest level designated NICU. Even though some other institutions may have a NICU, it would be at a lower level. And any baby born that needs higher services would be coming into Krauss Hospital. So you could see it's a large area of the state. The NICU is celebrating 40 years that it's been in existence and provided care for these little fighters, we're calling them. So right now we have an awareness campaign going on. And this awareness campaign has a huge social media component. We find that when we put stories out there or put social media posts out, whenever it's about the NICU, there are tons of hits. Many people respond to it. Many people have been touched either with their children or grandchildren going through our neonatal intensive care unit and are graduates of our NICU. In fact, every year we have a NICU graduate reunion, which is taking place this weekend in the Marley Education Center across from the hospital. And there'll be hundreds of little ones over there to celebrate that they graduated from our NICU. We have phenomenal neonatologists a wonderful group that has been with us for years and really are premier in their field of providing this care. So we want to thank the NICU for 40 years of service. This is a sample of our awareness campaign. It's also a fundraising campaign as well, because again, Krauss Hospital, in order to provide additional funds for capital improvements, we do that through money from operations, fundraising, grants that we may apply for. And so the fundraising component is very important to us. So that's a sample of some of the ads that we have out there right now. In addition, there are many, many stories out there about patients who went through the NICU, and these stories are incredible. Phenomenal endings. Some have had great endings and great success. Others, not so much, but they are willing to tell their story and to talk about what happened to them and the care that they received. So much of what we're putting forth are about those individuals. And this is one of our individuals. This is Zach, who, when he was born, was extremely tiny. He could barely breathe. And he and his parents are telling the story of what their experience was like in the NICU. Now, Zach is on the LeMoyne Lacrosse team. So these stories can be accessed on Krauss.org, Little Fighters. And you'll be seeing more and more about this out in the community. And there are many more stories out there right now. We're very proud of this. So in conclusion, I'll take you back to our mission, which is to provide the best inpatient care and to promote community health. And there's so much that I could talk about when it comes to Krauss. I could be up here for a very long time. I'm very passionate about the organization and all the work that we do, but I hope that this gave you just a little bit of a glimpse as to what we do and how we do it and how we're planning for the future. And it's my pleasure to share our story and on behalf of our employees and our physicians and volunteers who work hard every day to make these great things happen. So thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly. That's great. We have time for some questions. I also want to remind everybody, as we're just kind of starting a new season, that Thursday Morning Roundtable can be heard on WCNY-FM on Sunday evening at 8, and then also on their website, WCNY.org.
Good morning. Thank you for a terrific presentation that we could all understand. My question goes to, I guess, the inside track or inside information. Recently, SU has a new initiative about starting a medical facility, and I got the sense the initial reaction from Krauss was not good in terms of the impact. That's the impression I got from papers, but excusing all the Syracuse newspaper people, I take that with a grain of salt. So I wanted to hear your perspective on the possibility of a medical school starting up again with SU.
I would love to answer that. Thank you for the opportunity. Syracuse University is embarking upon an exploratory investigation into seeing if a medical school for them would be in line with their strategic vision. That medical school would be through a program to supply physicians to the Veterans Administration. As you know, the Veterans Administration is greatly lacking in the number of physicians that it needs today to care for our veterans, as well as what it's going to need in the future as physicians retire and leave the organization. So they're taking an issue or problem that we face nationally and coming up with a solution to it, which also we feel would benefit our community. Krauss Hospital and our physicians and our board have discussed this, and we believe that it does merit further exploration. We feel that there is an advantage that there would be to our community to have an additional medical school here. We do not believe, we would not be in favor of anything that would be a detriment to our existing medical school at Upstate, but we do feel that this idea merits additional conversation, and we're supportive of it from Krauss Hospital's perspective.
You have a question?
Two quick questions. What's the average patient's stay, And the second would be Obamacare requires that there is an annual review of each person's health. How has that affected the patients and the hospital?
So the average patient stay is 4.32 days. So we have patients that stay much shorter and much longer than that, but that is the average for Cross Hospital. Obamacare, it does have provisions in it that say that patients need to have annual assessments and review. And when I spoke about well care visits, that's what I was referring to. So it's very important for those physicians to make sure that their patients are coming in on an annual basis, no matter what their age, and that they are having a well care visit so that they can have their regular checkups to make sure that if age appropriate, they're getting their colonoscopies, that they're getting mammography, that they're getting whatever tests might be necessary for them. So through Krauss Medical Practice and our physician arm, we are providing those visits to the patients, our internal medicine docs, and we feel that it's very important as we move forward because we have to keep that population healthy and keep them from the need to access emergency care services or very expensive services by providing that preventative care up front.
Maybe I'll stand up. Kimberly, when you referred to the foundation, you said its sole purpose was to raise money for the hospital. But I'm sure you'll remember in the beginning, we got very involved with managing the money that was inputted into a foundation. We had a separate board quarterly meetings. Could you talk a little bit about what's going on with the foundation and what it does for the hospital at the moment?
Absolutely. When I said its sole purpose was to raise money for the foundation, the monies that it raises, whether that be through investment income off of their endowed assets or whether that be through new monies that they bring in, can only be utilized for Krauss Hospital. So the foundation can't go out and raise money for the food bank. It can only be utilized for the purposes of Krauss Hospital. The foundation does have over $25 million in assets today. They do have a separate board of directors. I should have mentioned that in the presentation. Thank you for bringing that up. They have a separate board of directors, again, community-based individuals who provide them with insight and intelligence on how to manage the money, how to raise more money, and then how to utilize the funds at Krauss Hospital. So there is a very active investment committee, and we do have an investment consultant that assists us in investing those funds wisely. Thank you.
And on some Thursday mornings, you can ask Carrie Burse about it. She's normally here, but she's the head of the foundation. You had a question.
My question has to do with volunteer services, number of volunteers you have, how you utilize them, and what opportunities do you have for maybe people in this room to volunteer?
We have a tremendous amount of opportunity. We have well-run volunteer services. There are hundreds of volunteers. They participate in the organization in multiple ways. They assist us with transport of patients as patients are being discharged. They assist us with transport of other things in and around and throughout the hospital. They sit at the front desk and are often the first face that someone would see upon visiting Krauss. So they're at the front desk in the lobby. They also maintain our waiting areas. So both the surgical services waiting area as well as the ICU family waiting area where they assist families. They're a wonderful source for Krauss Hospital of interacting with the families of the patients. We also have volunteers who do interact with the patients. We have some lovely volunteers who go up and rock babies every day and help us in the NICU and in the maternity center. So there are great opportunities, and you can either go through the website or call the hospital directly and ask to speak with the Volunteer Services Center, and we can get you right into talking about what opportunities there are for you.
Good morning. Thank you. Very good presentation. I enjoyed it. Could you talk a little bit about how the different hospitals in the immediate area are working together to overall improve medical care in Central New York, and particularly so that they don't compete on certain program areas, like you're emphasizing OBGYN, which is great, how the other ones are looking at their priority areas so that we, the customers, so to speak, have a better understanding of where the excellence is in the community hospitals?
Certainly. So in Syracuse, we are blessed with great medical care, as Patrick started the presentation with. And there are three institutions: University Hospital, including Community General Campus, St. Joseph's Hospital, and Krause Hospital. In addition, we have the Veterans Administration. Those three first institutions are highly competitive. We compete. So at the basis of everything, it is still an open market, and we are in competition. But we do collaborate significantly on multiple services. So, for example, when I talked about OB and maternity care, our Perinatal Regional Center for High-Risk OB are actually physicians who are a part of and operate through University Hospital, but all of their hospital practice happens at Krause Hospital. So there's a tremendous amount of collaboration. University Hospital and Upstate Medical University has residents who are educated through them. That residency program that they have has residents who come over and do their practice at Krause Hospital. As I said when I talked about cardiac services, Krause Hospital does not have cardiac surgery or open heart surgery. So we have the ability to care for the patient up and until that level. Then the patient would be transferred to either Upstate or to St. Joseph's Hospital, who both provide that care. So there are multiple services that we all do, and we all do them very well. But there are also services that each individual hospital may do. So there is a NICU at St. Joseph's, but it is a lower level NICU, so they can only care for an infant to a certain degree. Ours is the highest level NICU, where we have over 60 babies on an average daily census. They may have about 5 or 7. So it depends on the service line. In today's environment, I'm just going to speak to what you said about where do I go or where do I get my care. In today's environment, it's the information age, right? So all sorts of information is out there about hospitals, about physicians. CMS has each and every one of us providing data to CMS, and then CMS, which is the Medicare system, so the federal government, then spits that information back out so that you can see what are the surgical site infection rates by physician, or how do hospitals fare on readmissions, which hospital does better on readmission scores than others. All of that information is now public data. And as we move forward and more of the health of an individual, the responsibility for that is placed on an individual, all of that information will become more and more important to them. So they'll access it at a greater rate. So all of that information about the quality, the safe, reliable care, both of the institution and the physician, is out there for people to access. And we see more and more access to that information. We also see more and more groups going out and pulling that information, and then more media coverage regarding it.
Hi. Based on your statement, take me to Krause, I can say I've been to Krause. But I thought I'd say that. One of the things that we talk a lot about the need for primary care providers, and nurse practitioners are primary care providers, and I've been very pleased to see many of our primary care physicians are incorporating them into their practices. And I wanted to know, is Krause also expanding and utilizing more nurse practitioners or using them?
Absolutely. We utilize both nurse practitioners and physician's assistant, both in and outside of the hospital. So in our practices, we have physician's assistant and nurse practitioners. Those two groups combined are often referred to as mid-levels. So NPs and PAs work both within the hospital and outside in the practices. We couldn't exist without them. We talk about the shortage of physicians in primary care, but there are many areas where there are shortages of physicians. So multiple service lines. So those mid-levels help to care for the patients. You have a visit that you need to get to your doctor today. We want you to be able to go to the doctor's office. Now, his schedule may be full. That is when the nurse practitioners come into play. You can see a nurse practitioner. that keeps you out of going to the emergency room and accessing that level of care, that greater level of care. It's best that we keep you in the office. So that's where nurse practitioners and mid-levels come into play. I want to say one thing about your Take Me to Crowds statement, though, just because I often hear in the community that people didn't understand. If you are going to, if you find yourself in a situation where you call 911 and you need an ambulance, when you get in that ambulance, you can direct your care. The ambulance drivers and the EMTs could say, well, you're having this issue and I think you should go here, you're having that issue. But you ultimately have the decision, you and your family, to say which hospital you will go to. They cannot just take you anywhere. It is your right to go to whatever hospital you like. So if you say, take me to Krause, and they say, oh, they're awful busy, we're not going to take you there, say, oh, no, you're taking me there. So just know that you can override that.
My name is Susan, and I just wanted to say for Kimberly and Krause Hospital, I'm probably the longest long-term volunteer that they have, and I'm very excited to still be there. I've been at many volunteer jobs. At the moment, I'm at POB and MI with the patient services, and most volunteers think of us as a paid job. We're not, but we hardly ever miss. So we love Krause. Thank you.
Thank you for all your years of service.
All right. We've got another one.
Could you tell us a little bit about your School of Nursing?
Oh, absolutely. We have the Pomeroy College of Nursing, and we have been in existence for many, many years. We just celebrated our, what was our anniversary we had for the college? 100? 100, yes. It was 100 years. And we have an associate's degree program through our school, through our College of Nursing. And we work in collaboration with other institutions to help those nurses get in themselves now into a bachelor's program. Nursing has come a long way in the fact of what it requires today. So in the past, associate's degree in nursing, it allows you to practice, you sit for your boards, and you can practice. There's a big push now to make sure that nursing professionals now have a bachelor's degree as well. So we're actually we work with outside organizations to help to get them that bachelor's degree. And you'll see more and more of that, much like you did with the teachers when teachers before in the past had bachelor's degree. Now you see them all getting master's. That's what's happening in nursing also. But it exists right across the street in the Marley Education Center. We have phenomenal educators over there. It's under the direction of our dean, Rhonda Reeder. And the students have a great experience. There are dormitories, although not a large number of rooms in the Marley Education Center. And they do their clinical work in Krause Hospital, but they also do clinical work out in other organizations in the community, such as nursing homes and physician practices.
Thank you. Thank you, Kimberly Boynton and Krause Hospital, for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much.